Matthew chapter 11, verse 15, Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Why would he have to say, you know, and it's amazing as Jesus said that to them, and they didn't even have cell phones out when they were having conversations with each other. But he said, listen. He said, you really need what I'm getting ready to tell you. You need this. Verse 16, whereunto shall I liken this generation? 2,000 years ago. It is like children sitting in the markets, calling to their fellows, saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, you have not lamented. What was Jesus saying? We cannot appease the world. We cannot satisfy them by compromising ourselves. It didn't work then. It won't work now. Embracing and affirming their sin and godlessness, trying to look like the world will not draw them to the church, or will not, it will not draw them to Jesus. It may draw them in the church. But what is the point of drawing people into the church if they are not drawn to God? We've got to be drawing people to Jesus, pointing them to Jesus. And it also won't make them like us. You want the world to be your friend, but God said friendship with the world is enmity with God. We've got to choose. Do we want to be popular or do we want to be godly? We've got to choose. And there's so hard of a push trying to get churches to be more worldly. Guys, I'm not saying that we can't be modern, but we've got to be biblical. And by doing all of the things that Hollywood does, guys, this is not a Hollywood production. This is not a place for Hollywood or Nashville. We can sing songs and you can put the steel guitar in it. That'll be fine. But if we're trying to satisfy the world, it's never going to get them to God. We've got to give them the Word of God to get them to God. We've got to introduce them to the Spirit of God for them to be drawn to God. And we must not be drawn to worldly entertainment. Just like we said about alcohol, if God's people would stop supporting that industry, it would go out of business. And the same thing with the Hollywood movies, the trash that they put out. And I see, you know, there's some, you know, movies that have come out that the Christians are really pushing hard. Hey, we all need to go out and see this. And it's really showing what God could do through that venue. But if we continue to support the trash that comes out, then they'll stay in business. And if we'll stop giving our money to it, they'll go out of business. That's the reality. And all this stuff they're trying, the agendas that they're pushing. We also, he says, we have played the music and you have not danced. Guys, it's not good enough for us just to hear the music. They want to see us dance. They want us to be the monkey on the end of the organ grinder. They want us to be out there dancing to what... You see, it's not good enough that you just let people do what they want to do. No, you have to embrace it, and you have to affirm it, and you have to celebrate it. Right? Did y'all get lost somewhere in that conversation? That's not how it works. The church will never be effective if we become more worldly. Ordaining homosexual pastors and deacons and all that kind of stuff, not going to work. And you see what's happened to the Methodists in doing that. And I'm not trying to throw mud, but I'm just saying, look at what happened to them. They went woke and they went broke. And it's destroyed them. It's a different denomination and they have some different ideas than we do on the Bible. But the truth is they embraced the world and it didn't work. And those Methodist churches that wanted to be godly and wanted to be biblical and wanted to be Christian took the name off the sign and bought their way out. Guys, we cannot satisfy the world by trying to be like the world. Not as a church and not as a Christian. Well, you don't dress like we do. That's right, we don't. Well, you don't talk like we do. That's right, we don't. Well, you don't laugh at the things we laugh at. That's right, we don't. You don't sing our songs. We shouldn't. You don't watch our movies. You shouldn't. Or our TV shows. Guys, if you haven't noticed, they were just putting little doses over the last 40, 50 years, little doses, getting us to laugh at it. And then now we're at a point where it's no longer a laughing matter. Destroying the family, destroying the father figures in the home, promoting sex and drugs and alcohol. No, he says, don't dance to their music. And don't mourn. Don't mourn where they lament. We must not become sympathetic to their sick, sinful causes. I see a sign. I drop the kids off and pick them up. There's a house on the corner and it says, protect trans kids. Amen. I wish somebody would protect those children from those morons that are trying to convince them that they're not what God made them. Somebody needs to protect those children and love those children and not let these doctors get a hold of them and turn them into something they're not. Guys, we've got to love those children and help those children. What are they doing by identifying? They're identifying with something, whether that was suggested to them or whether the idea came through television or whatever, and they seized upon it, and somebody's got to love them through it and out of it. We shouldn't be mean to them and ugly to them and ostracize them. We've got to help them. Help them find their way through it. And you say, Pastor, how can you be that way? You know why? Because I've sat down with them and I've talked to them and I understand it's a real problem that they're dealing with, but they need help, not affirmation. They don't need someone to celebrate their dysphoria, their misunderstanding. We have mourned to you and you have not lamented. No, we're not going to be sympathetic to your sick ideas. We'll help you through it and help you get out of it. That's the goal. We're going to love you. Want to help you. But we're not going to celebrate the mental anguish that you're going through. Verse 18. John came neither eating nor drinking. But they said he had a devil. Well, you won't eat with us? No, you got a devil. You won't drink with us? You won't drink at all? No. Well, you got a devil. Verse 19, then the Son of Man came, eating and drinking. And what did they say? Behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber. You can't make them happy. You can't satisfy them. People who are looking for fault are going to find fault. And there's nothing you can do about it. You can toe the line. You can walk on eggshells. Don't say the wrong thing. Don't say anything. They're going to find a way to malign you because they're looking for fault. And we as God's people have got to stick to the Word of God. We got to do the work of God. We got to be on mission for God. Their double standard is not new. Talk about double standard. You don't have to look far, do you? Those that call the good evil and evil good. The Bible said, woe to them. Then Jesus in verses 20 through 24 started calling out whole cities. Woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. If the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago. Think about it, guys. Look at America. We look at, if you read history, you look at it from the perspective of God's providence, you look at George Washington and how God worked in his life and the Constitution and all of the founding fathers and all of those things. How God worked to establish this great nation and to bring about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. It was the Congregational Church that gave that idea. Representative Republic. The congregation gave that idea. God has blessed this nation, and America was sending missionaries all around the world to get the gospel out, to win people to Jesus. We were effective here at home, and we could see that God's worked. God, there's so much Jesus available today. In print, online, radio, television, in person, conversation. Jesus is everywhere. Bibles are everywhere. How many of you have more than one Bible? Look at that. How could a nation that's been blessed so much be so full of sin, so full of evil, so full of unrepentant people? How can anybody stand before God one day that's lived in this country and say, well, I didn't know? How can that be? Jesus said, if Tyre and Sidon had seen the miracles and had the opportunity that you've had, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes a long time ago. There's no reason that this nation should be on the course we're on. We've got so much from favor from God and so much opportunity to worship Him and to serve Him and to bless Him. God's been so good to us. I wouldn't want to stand before God that day. Look at what he says in verse 24. It shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Wow. Wow. We look at Sodom and Gomorrah and we think it's the antithesis of sin and evil and nastiness and filthiness. And Jesus said it'll be more tolerable for them in that day than it would be for these people he's talking to at Capernaum. Well, if he said that about Capernaum, what would he say about us? I don't want to stand before God after all the opportunity that we've had in this country and say, well, I didn't know. There's no reason we shouldn't know. No reason our neighbors and our family and our coworkers shouldn't know. It's our responsibility as born-again Christians to share that message. Verse 28. Jesus said, come unto me. Come unto me. He said, don't try to appease the world. Don't try to make them happy. Don't try to fit in with them. We've got to have a standard. We're going to stand before God. We know God's hand. We know God's ability. We know God's authority. And he said, come to me. Come to Jesus. All ye that labor. What does that mean? Well, if you labor, that is a work that you have put on yourself. How many of you ever brought trouble into your own life? Right? You say, well, this is my own fault. I did this. Yep. Labor. People say, well, God's not going to forgive you because you brought that on yourself. No, Jesus said, come to me, ye that labor. Even if you've gotten yourself in a mess, even if you've messed it up, go to God. He said, come on, come home. Come unto me, all ye that labor. And then he says this, and those that are heavy laden. What does that mean? That means I didn't bring it on myself, but it's on me now. Somebody else brought it into my life. How many of us could say we've had burdens in our life that were not our fault? Right? Somebody else brought that into my life. Whatever the reason, whoever it was. But you know what he said to you? He said, come to me. Come to me. Whether you brought it on yourself or somebody else laid that burden on you, he said, come to me. Bring your burden to Jesus. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. And look at verse 28, that last phrase. He said, I will give you amen. We'll look at what he says at the end of verse 29. He said, rest unto your souls. You know, sometimes we're tired not because our body is worn out, but because our soul is weary. Because we're brokenhearted, because we're sad, because we're angry, stressed, worrying, whatever it is. But our soul is weary. You know what Jesus said? Come to me. Whether you caused the problem or the problem came to you, he said, come to me. Whatever your burden, whatever you need, come to me. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. Well, we understand what a yoke is, right? A yoke is usually a piece of wood and it's got little carvings so that it fits over the neck of the animal or the shoulders of the animal, and it's tied together so that they have to work as a team. Brother Henry, come here, would you? We didn't practice this ahead of time, so this could be a disaster. Now, we're yoked, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're yoked. I thought about we'd get up here and demonstrate how to square dance. What do you think? Okay. So here's the yoke. Now let me ask you a question. Who just led that? Who's leading? Can y'all tell who's leading? Okay. But you know what Jesus said? He said, if you get yoked to me, I'll lead you. Brother Henry didn't tell me turn right, turn left, and I didn't tell him. Thank you, brother. He didn't lead, I led. Guys, that's what it is when we're yoked with Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. How did Brother Henry learn which way to go? I just pulled him. The Holy Spirit of God, once we put our faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit of God comes into us, and you know what He does? He pushes and He pulls. And when we're starting to get close to something that's dangerous, the Holy Spirit of God will warn us and say, oh, back up. And when we need to go do something, the Holy Spirit of God will say, come on, let's go. We know the voice of God in that way as He leads us through life. He said, take my yoke upon you. Connect yourself. Be joined to me. Let's have a union together. And let me lead you. Learn of me. And I will give you rest. Do what I do. Let me lead. Brother Henry, come back up here. Would you please? Let me be polite. There you go. All right. Go left. Go left. You know that's how we live with Jesus sometimes?
Yeah.
All right, now go left. Thank you. That's not how we're supposed to go with Jesus. We're not supposed to be in conflict. We're supposed to work together. We're supposed to let Him lead. We're supposed to learn of Him. Was I learning from Brother Henry? I wasn't learning from him. He was trying to lead and I was pulling my own direction. He said, let me lead. He says, I'm meek and lowly in heart. What are we supposed to be learning from Jesus? To be meek and lowly in heart. We're supposed to learn the lightness of His yoke. You know what He says? He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We make it so hard to serve God. You know, it's not hard to serve God. It's not hard to live for Jesus. It's not hard to live by the Word of God. I know everybody makes it sound so difficult. Let me tell you, it's easy. It's not hard. You say, well, Pastor, you know, we're not supposed to cuss as Christians. Peter cussed. That's how everybody believed he wasn't a Christian, if you recall, in the courtyard. Well, Pastor, it'd be hard for me to quit cussing. No, it won't be that hard. Not if you give it a good try. And by the way, I get around people that cuss all the time, and it doesn't even bother me. I'm not saying it's okay to do it. I'm just saying. People that come around me, and they'll say, well, they'll cuss. Somebody did that yesterday. I don't remember who it was, but they cussed. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, why are you sorry? Because I heard it. God heard it every time you did it. It's not hard, y'all. We make it hard. It's not hard to live for God. By the way, sometimes people make me want to cuss. I don't cuss, but if you'll write it down, I'll sign it. How's that? That's how mad some people make me sometimes, but it's a decision I made. Look, when I was in about the fourth grade, I decided I was going to start cussing. How many of y'all remember when you decided you were going to start cussing? I did. I decided I'm going to be a man. I'm going to start cussing. And so by the way, cussing not even in this sermon. I don't know where it comes from, but I decided I was going to start cussing. So I started cussing. Boy, I was a big man then. About 2 years later, I decided I was going to quit cussing. And I just quit. Because there are things, it's not hard. When Jesus washed my sins away, He set me free from all that hard stuff. When I put His yoke upon me, His yoke is easy, His burden's light. There's nothing hard about living for God, living for Jesus, sharing Jesus, preaching Jesus. It's not hard. Everybody say Jesus. That wasn't hard, was it? He said, do what I do, let me lead. Learn to be meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I find that when I'm leading in charge of my own life, when I'm making decisions and leaving God out of it, my soul is burdened, not rested. But when I trust God, when I say, God, I trust you, I don't worry about things anymore. So much about this life I can't control. 10 minutes before the service yesterday morning, I got a phone call. A good friend of mine. Family said he's unresponsive. They were preparing me for his passing. His wife got on the phone, broken, preparing for his passing. But you know what they did? They got to praying. They got other people praying. And they said, you know what? They let go. They said, well, there's nothing we could do. We're just going to trust God. Doctors hadn't got it figured out. We're just going to trust God. Yesterday afternoon, the phone rung. I thought, well, this is it. They've called to tell me he's gone. And he was on the phone talking to me. Now, look, God doesn't do that every time. But he did yesterday. You know why? Because they said, there's nothing we could do. We're just going to trust God. There's a reason. The fellow that we baptized a few weeks ago, he texted me this morning. He said, I need to tell you the story, but he can't talk anymore. Go to the hospital. He writes notes. But he said, I want you to share my testimony, because by all rights, I should have died last week. I shouldn't be here. He said, I figured out God's got a reason for me to be here. And I believe that. I believe there's a whole group of people that God wants to reach through him. And this is somebody you would not have expected to get saved and get baptized and to be all about Jesus. But now he is. And so all of his friend group is going to get introduced to Jesus. That's the same thing that should have happened with all of us when we got saved. Because here's what is, God saved me because he had a group of people he wanted to reach. It's not hard. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. It is fulfilling, not difficult, to live for Jesus. I went to Fire Academy. There's two parts to it. When you get done with the first part, they make you pay for the second part before it starts. A week into it, and y'all have heard me say this before, a week into it, I said, if I hadn't already paid for it, I'd be done with this. But I already paid for it, so now I got to stay. After I got over that attitude problem I had, it wasn't that hard. Just had to get my heart right, my mind right. Guys, the stuff that we talk about doing for God, living our lives for God, living outside of sin, repenting of all that sin, getting that stuff out of our lives, not bringing controversy and trouble and problems into our lives, but living for Jesus and trying to make a difference, it's not hard. Just got to choose to do it. Just got to surrender to God and say, Lord, I'm going to yoke with you. I'm going to walk with you. And I'm going to trust you. Would you stand? Maybe you're here this morning, you say, well, Pastor, I want to connect with Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. Today you could do that. Right now, from your heart to God's heart, where you stand, you could say, God, I need Jesus. I accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior, and I give my life to you, and I ask you to forgive my sins. Save my soul. Once you do that, you say, I want to bury my past in the waters of baptism. I want to bury, symbolically, I want to bury my past. I want to bury my old man. I want to be baptized, risen to walk in newness of life. Maybe you say, you know, I just need to make some changes. I just need to make some change. I've been playing with the world, trying to be like the world, and I finally realized straight from the scriptures that the world's never going to accept me because I'm different. I'm not from here. I belong to Jesus. And I can't win them if I'm doing what they do. I've got to win them by being more like Jesus. Showing them the way. God, we pray you'll use this time for your glory. Do a work in each of us and all of us together. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. If you want me to pray with you, I'll be glad to do that. But you can pray where you are. God hears you where you are. This is your opportunity. Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night at 7, praying for you. God bless you. Look to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Andy, dismiss us, please.